Parshat Vayishlach begins, then Yaakov sent angels ahead of him to Esav, his brother, to the land of Seir, the field of Edom. He charged them, saying, thus shall you say to my lord, to Esav, so said your servant Yaakov, I have sojourned with Lavan, I have lingered until now, I have acquired oxen and donkeys, flocks, servants and maidservants, and I am sending to tell my lord to find favor in your eyes. The angels returned to Yaakov, saying, we came to your brother to Esav. Moreover, he is heading towards you, and 400 men are with him. And we know Yaakovina's response is one of complete fear. He divides his camp into two. He turns to Hashem, Katonti v'kol ha'maasim, right? I'm not deserving of all this goodness. And there's this trepidation that's found in meeting Esav after all of these years. On the phrase, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav El Esav Achiv Arza Seir, Rashi, quoting the Medrash, notes, who are these angels? And Rashi has two words. Upeirush Rashi Malachim Mamash. These are real angels. Because, as the Medrash in Source number 3 notes, there are two deos in the Medrash in Beishi Rabba. Malachim Elu Shluchei Basar Vadam. They could be human, that they could be sent, and they're human emissaries, or Rabbanan Amri Malachim Mamish, or Rabbanan said these are real angels, and we have to ask ourselves a number of questions. Obviously, question number one is Rashi that chooses this option of Malachim Mamish. Madu Hutzrach Yaakov Source 4 Chai Moshe Rabik Lishloch Malachim Mamash Aleisav. Wouldn't it have been enough just to send regular people, to use heavenly angels to send to Esav? What's the occasion? That's obviously the question to ask. Another question we need to ask is, who are these angels that Yaakov Avinu sent? What does it mean to send angels, right? Do we have that ability? Okay, angel, please come here. I want to send you on a mission. What's pshat in sending angels? We need to try to be able to understand as well that if Yaakov Avinu is sending angels, then why is he so afraid, right? Comes to mind is that Perek and Malachim of Elisha with his Nar, where the whole city is surrounded. They're trying to catch Elisha, and the Nar is very afraid. The servant's afraid. Elisha allows Hashem to open his eyes, and he sees all the spiritual protection. If Yaakov Avinu is using angels, so won't those angels protect him from the 400 men? Like, boom! Gone? So what is this fear of Yaakov Avinu with these 400 men? Further, if these are indeed angels, as Rashi's holding, then why does Esav continue on his way with 400 men? Is he not afraid of the angels of Yaakov? Like, a lot of questions, which, we just read the story, real angels, and we continue on. We don't sit and ask ourselves these basic questions. If what are the considerations? As well as the Oso Satara asks, Hechan Ramuza Pasuk Shayu Elu Malachim Mamish. Where in the Pasuk, Rashi is Kipshut El Shemikra. It's very much connected to the Pshat of the text. Where is it hinted at that these are real Malachim? Because we know, for example, Vaishlach Moshe Malachim, Vaishlach Yisrael Malachim, there are other cases where it uses the word Malachim, and those are people. So why is here Rashi saying, no, it's not human emissaries, it's rather angels? What's bringing Rashi to say this? And obviously, we need to understand these two pshatim in Chazal. Well, what did he really say? Were they people or were they angels? Like, what's the real reality? How do we understand when there are two different interpretations being brought down? What are we to learn from this? And obviously, our question, which we ask every week, my friends, which we know already, is what are we to learn from all of these different questions in terms of our own avodas Hashem, in terms of our lives, because that's what Chumash is here for. Chumash, every parsha, is to teach us lessons that even if we can take one or two and be able to implement them, matov u'manoim ashrenu matov chokeinu. So let's begin with the question of Otzar Satorah, Rav Kohn, in Source 5. Where is this hinted at in the Chumash that they were real angels? So there are a number of possibilities. I brought down two. Rabbeinu Bachaya, who says, the Pasuk says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, that he sent angels. And then in Pasuk Zion, it says the angels returned to Yaakov, saying, but never says that the angels actually went to Esav. So the fact that the angels are able to go and come back immediately, this would reflect that these are spiritual emissaries and not physical ones. The other interpretation is the Kliyakar, and we're going to have to touch on this as well as one of our questions. The Pasuk has a lot of redundancy. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, and Yaakov sent Malachim lifanav, in front of him. Well, obviously, in front of him. What is in front of him coming to teach us? As well as El Esav Achiv, Arza Seir Stei Edom. Why do I need both the land of Seir, the field of Edom, right? The field of Edom, I would know it's in the land of Seir, or the land of Seir would be sufficient. Why do I have both? So Kliyakar notes, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim lifanav. What is Lefanav? Lefanav means those that are in front of Yaakov and Esav at all times. What is that which is in front of Yaakov and Esav at all times? Angels. So therefore, this is what Yaakov Avinu sent. Now, how do we understand this idea before we even ask who these angels are? The idea of sending these heavenly angels. So if we take a look for a moment on the next page, the Moshe Rav Scheinerman, he speaks about, in the Sefer Machsheva Musar, that Yaakov mishtamish b'malachim mishum shegam ha'malachim nivru l'shamish et ha'adam. All of creation, kol abriya kula, all of creation is created in order to serve man. And this includes all of creation, the olomos ha'yonim v'atachtonim, the upper worlds as well as the lower worlds. Everything is here to be able to serve man. Kol abriya b'chol ma sheyesh ba nutzra avur adam. Everything in this world is created for man. Kol olam lo nivra l'mishvili. That has to be our mindset. As we know, the Gemara teaches us in Brachos that Ben Zoma once saw a multitude of people as he was standing on the Mala of Har Abayit, and he says, Baruch shebara kol elu shamsheni. Thank you, Hashem, for creating all of these to serve me. Mara asks, is this not egotistical? No, it's a reality that everyone here in this world is here to help another person out. It's to be able to serve another person, right? The baker provides the bread, and this one provides the flour for the baker, and the farmer the wheat, etc. And this is the whole idea of everything in this world. And we understand that this is not just people are here. Elagam ha-malachim nivru l'shamesh et ha-adam. Angels as well. And as the Drash Moshe, Moshe Feinstein that cell points out in source number 9, that for a person who's an Adam Shalom, like Yaakov Avinu, and there's no distinction between Nes and Teva, so for him, an angelic figure is just like a human being, right? He's able to use these angels to serve him like he would use a person to serve him, like the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker. For Yaakov Avinu, Loch Pavo, Lishloka Malochim, what's the big deal to send angels? Because they are Shavet Slov to him, a person, an angel, are all equal. So Yaakov Avinu, according to this, has the ability just to choose these angelic emissaries to be, or angelic ambassador, to be his spokesman. But again, the question, okay, so Yaakov Avinu has this ability, which perhaps we don't have, or we have, but we're not in the level to tap into. That is more correct. Question is, why does Yaakov Avinu choose to take this, as the Chaim Moshe asks, this route? Why doesn't he send regular people? What is driving Yaakov Avinu to send these particular angels? So we know, and this is what the Shirei Chumash Rav Volpe states very emphatically, as well as many of the Mefarshim, we'll see it in the end of Surah 6. HaMilchama shel Yaakov im Esav eina milchama gashmit levad. The story is really happening on a number of planes. On one level, and this is the way we read the story, Yaakov Avinu is meeting his brother after 20 years of being in Lavan's house. He left with Esav swearing that he's going to kill him. He's petrified that Esav still remembers very well his anger, and that he's afraid physically for himself and his family. That's one level of reading the story. But there's another level of reading this story. The story is about Yaakov Avinu, which is about the force of good. Meeting with Esav, which is the force of evil. And what's really going on here, and you see this so clearly, in Yaakov Avinu fighting the Saro Shel Esav, fighting the angel of Esav, that what's really going on here is the war of good and evil. And that's why at the end, Yaakov Avinu wants that he should bless him, that indeed those brachos belong to him, and that he should give him, you know, he gets his name change, and we move to Yisrael. There's a higher, much deeper dynamic that's going on here. And indeed, we know that when the Jewish people throughout the ages would be going to meet the Goyim on missions to try to placate or to try to negotiate with the Umos HaOlam, with the nations of the world, they would read Parshat Vayishlach, the Motzei Shabbos, before they would go out or right before their mission. Because this is not just a mission of a Yaakov and Esav. This is a mission of the Jews and the outside world. There's a lot more going on here. There's the micro level and the macro level. We are not going to be dealing with the macro level, but I'm mentioning this, we're going to be dealing more so with the micro level, but I'm mentioning this is because we have to keep this in mind, and this is perhaps lesson number one for today, with what's going on right now, Kislev Tashinayim Vav, with all of these terrible, terrible tragedies, both in Eretz Israel as well as ISIS and the world. We are so mistaken to think it's just a bunch of, you know, radicals who are destroying the world. This is a battle of good and evil. It's a battle of light and darkness. There's a lot more going on here. And that is why, my friends, because this battle is a battle of good and evil, of light and darkness, it cannot be fought on the political realm. It has to be fought on the spiritual realm. And that is why we need to be able to learn these psukim and chumash and be able to see them from a spiritual vantage point, not just, you know, Yaakov Avinu sent some cows and donkeys or, you know, donkeys and sheep to Esav to placate him. You know, there's a lot more going on here, right? Because what's really going on in any interaction is that spiritual level. So let's try to understand what is Yaakov Avinu really saying to Esav when we understand this from the vantage point, changing our glasses, that this is a spiritual interaction, not just a physical one. And that's why the Avinu by Mikra points out, Devada Yaakov Avinu lo pacham Esav atzmo b'koach ha'gufani. Yaakov Avinu, who's very strong, we saw him take off the rock from the well, just shoop. He wasn't afraid in a physical war. Ela pacham ha'kitruk shel malachos shel Esav. He was afraid of the accusatory force of the angel of Esav. What's really going on here is a war with the super, the arch evil, not just Esav down here. And that's why Yaakov Avinu is sending Malachim, because he's really trying to be able to initiate a communication with the higher forces, and to be able to do that, it's not sufficient just to be able to send a regular person. What's going on here is a spiritual communication, and as such, he needs to send angels. And that's why when the angels come back and say, you know, Esav is coming to greet you, Vigam, as well as the 400 people, Chazal understand, as well as referring to the Sarah Shel Esav. Not only is Esav coming to meet you, but his sar, his, you know, angel above is also coming to meet you. This is not just a physical war, this is a spiritual war. And that's why Yaakov Avinu is afraid. That's why even though he has angels to protect him, katoti mikolo chasoti, am I deserving of protection? Am I deserving for the angels to come protect me? Perhaps I am not on that level that I am deserving to be saved from the accusatory forces of my sins, of where I've been at. And this is why Rav Bik Chaim Oshin, source number 10, says that the shlichus that he's sending is the Sarul Shalesav, as we saw, as to the emissary. And therefore, he says to him, Im Lavan Garti, I was with Lavan. And as Rashi says, we almost feel this part of the text, Vitaryak Mitzvot Shemarti, and I kept the 613 mitzvot. Why is he mentioning this now? Because he's saying to the Sarul Shalesav, the middle of 10, Shlo Yuchal Natchol, you think you're going to be able to vanquish me? Wrong. Ki bekorach terasol yamodi mo bekishrei mechama v'inatzeach oto. Yaakov Avinu says, I have Torah on my side. I have the 613 mitzvos on my side. He's telling him there's a lot more going on in this war, and if you think you can just wipe me out, not so simple. I'm coming with the strength of keeping Torah. And that's why we understand in the first pasuk, he sends it two arts of Seir stay at home. Seir is the name of the several shalais of the asterisk and ten. He's sending almost on two levels, like angels, not only to the eighth of below, but to the eighth of above, to the several shalais. And he's telling him that these angels are created from all the mitzvahs I've done. You're going to have a very hard time trying to conquer me. What was the great fear that Yaakov Inu had? I mean, he kept the Tariq mitzvahs in Lavan's house. So explains the Mishnah to Yosef in source number 12 that it's fear, and that this is really Yaakov Avinu saying, Vidu it. And that's how you have to learn the psukim, El Adoni. The language is, he sent him to my Lord, to Esav. To my Lord is a reference to Hashem. To Esav is down here. There's like a dual conversation going on. Yaakov Avinu's angels are talking kivyochol to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and at the same time to Esav down here. There is this double language going on. And the fear that Yaakov Avinu has is, okay, my mother told me I had to be in Lavan's house to be able to get married and have children. Great. But I stayed six extra years for the sheep. I stayed six extra years, right, till the angel came and told him, time to come home. He's afraid that the schus that Esav had of A, living in Eretz Yisrael, B, of Kibud Avaim, that he didn't have for those 6 years, that was going to be the kitruk, that was going to be the accusatory force that perhaps he wasn't going to come away unblemished from this fight. And this is what Yaakov Avinu is coming to Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyochol. And he's saying, La Adoni, my master, kivyochol towards Hashem, understand, I mean, Misvada, you're right, I spent 6 extra years, but now I've come back to Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes here the Pri Tfuah, we can see it inside in 14, that every mitzvah a person does in this world creates a positive energy, a positive force. But not only that, let's go back into 13. He says, Shemotam hamlochim shenasu eidei mitzvah shasa shem holchim lefanav l'shamro. That Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. Who are these angels? These angels are the ones who come before him. Which means that Shekol Misha Lech Lebeit HaKnesset Liv Palal, anyone who goes to Shul to Daven, aside from the angels you create in Davening, there is the angels of Lefanav that precede you. Valach Lefanecha Sivkecha. The Halicha Gufa Mitzvah. Walking to a mitzvah also creates angels. It's also a mitzvah. And that's why Yaakov Avinu, as he's walking to Eretz Yisrael, as he's walking now to be Mekayim, to be able to do the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, he's sending those angels that are walking with him, that are created from his walking to Eretz Yisrael, his walking to do this mitzvah. The walking itself is the mitzvah. He's sending those angels as his schuz, as his merit. You're right, I goofed, I wasn't here for 6 years, but there's tshuva, and I'm now taking with this reality that I have not been able to have that same schus that Esav had, but Hashem, please allow the malachim lefanov that are in front of me, these malachim that are the walking, that are coming just from the physical walking to Eretz Yisrael, the physical walking to do a mitzvah, allow those angels to be my melech yosher, to be those who will be advocating on my behalf for the positive. My friends, what we see here is something very, very fundamental. Yaakov Avinu, when he's meeting Esav, understands that this is not a war about a brother who's mad at another brother. This is about a Kadosh Baruch Hu running the show. This is about that a person is either deserving or not deserving. And what Yaakov Avinu is teaching us, and this, my friends, is what we need to learn for our lives, is that so often we act and react on the plane of that which is in front of us, and the playing field that's in front of us. And you know, this one said this to me, and therefore I'm going to respond. This one cut me off in driving, and therefore I'm going to honk at him when he slows down, because I'm mad at him for cutting me off. Whoa! Let's get a grip. Everything that happens to us is directed from above. When a person says something that insults us or that makes us angry, it's not about that person. You're right, that person has their own cheshbon, their own accounting to do. I'm not worried about that. What I am worried about is my response. I'm worried about, am I going to learn that they're really a shluchei boreheima? They're really being sent from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to teach me a lesson. And instead of getting angry at them, getting angry at the stick, let me introspect and see what do they do to deserve this. Yaakov Avinu is coming to Esav and sending these angelic figures because he understands that this is not just about a physical war of anger of two brothers. It's a war, am I deserving or not to be saved? Am I on this spiritual level to be good enough, to be on a spiritual enough? I've been holding where I should be. Esav has mitzvahs on his side. Are those mitzvahs going to be strong enough to be able to outweigh mine? Whether I have angels or not, it's irrelevant. Am I deserving or am I not deserving? He's sending these angels really imploring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's sending these angels talking to the Sarah Shel Esav. The real playing field here is a spiritual playing field, not just a physical one. Our challenge, my friend, and I say it's a challenge because we don't live in a three-dimensional world spiritually. We live in a one-dimensional world, which means that when I do a mitzvah, all right, I gave a person someone comes to my door and they ask for money and I give them 20 shekels. So in my mind, I've given someone 20 shekels. Okay, I feel good. I've done a chesed. That's where it begins and ends. What we don't see, and that's the source 17. Rabbi Eliezer, son of Yaakov, said, he who does one mitzvah, this is Perek Dalet of Pirkei Avos, gains himself one advocate, while he who commits one transgression acquires from oneself one accuser. And as Irving Bunim points out in Ethics from Sinai, to convey its simple understanding terms a basic truth about the effect of our deeds in the spiritual realm, they use the symbol of the angel. Whenever you do a mitzvah, following your Yetzer Tov, they taught, an angel is created and acts as an advocate for you, a protector and defense attorney. Not only is this idea found in our Mishnah, but also in the Medrash. If a man does one mitzvah, the Holy One, blessed be He, gives him one angel to guard him. Two mitzvahs, Hashem gives him two angels. Great many, Holy One gives him half his camp. With every act of piety and goodness, you significantly add to the forces of good in the world. Therefore, in your own spiritual realm, there's an added force for good on your behalf. It will affect your character and your life's progress. And conversely, the opposite. And this is what we need to understand, that how do we really battle all of this evil, all of these shootings that are so senseless, and young people, an 18-year-old yeshiva boy dying, doing chesed? How do we understand this? How do we wrap our heads around this? And the answer is, we don't understand it. We know that emuna is the thing that we have to hold on to, that this is beyond us to understand. We know that. But what should our response be? Not anger at how could they do this, and our response has to be creating more protection in the world, creating more goodness in the world. Every act we do, every bracha we say, every act of kindness we do, every single davening we do, we are the ones protecting the world. We are the ones creating a shmira in the world. We need to understand that. And we need to understand that, again, both on the micro and the macro level. On the micro level, we understand, Levi Eliyahu speaks about, that there are malachim that are olim v'yordim bo, that are angels ascending and descending upon us. That everything good that we do, the angels come up, and then angels come down to bring a shefa, to bring bounty upon us. They are created from our deeds. And we understand as well. In 16 says the Ol Moshe, Ela'af im nizdamein la'adam devar aveira v'amad ben yisayon v'lo avar aveira harehu ke'osa mitzvah. That good angels aren't only created when you do an act of kindness, but when you desist from doing an aveira. You're about to speak Lashon Hara and you don't. You're about to do something that's inappropriate and you stop yourself, right? You're about to give that response and you don't. You're about to get angry and you don't. Whatever it is. At that moment, you have created a positive energy as well. These are the angels. Say the Sfarim, 15, double underline. Klomar, ki malachav yitzavelach, Hashem promised to be with Yaakov Avinu. Who are these angels that are accompanying Yaakov? Elo ayu malachim shenivrua yidei maitzav shel Yaakov Avinu. These are the angels created by his good deed. Hey mehem sheshalach aleisav achiv. These are the ones that he brought to his brother Esav. And this, my friends, is the understanding that we need to have. That we, on both, again, the micro and the macro level, every time we do a mitzvah, we're creating positive energy. Rav Wolbe speaks about at the end of 18, that when you're in a place where you feel good energy, it's hard to describe. Ah, I feel comfortable in this place. I feel like there's a good light, there's a good feeling in this place. That's coming from the good deeds that happen in this place. That's not just energy. You know, you say, oh my gosh, these people are from California. They have, you know, like energy field sensors, you know, all over them. The tattoos and the energy sensors define Californians. No, I mean, maybe, but no. What is it about? Every one of us, if we were attuned, could feel, ah, you know, you walk into a home, you say, this is a Torah Dikka home. This is a home of Chesed. This is a home of Kedusha. This is a place. You can feel it. Where does that come from? It comes from the mitzvahs that you do. It's absorbed into the walls, into the ceiling, into the air. And this is a protection for every person. It's a light. It's an energy that every person has, that they are given this light, they're given this energy, they're given this protection. And it helps us to do more mitzvahs. The Gra speaks about, this is mitzvah gereres mitzvah. When I have one mitzvah, and I have that energy and light from that mitzvah, it encourages me to do another mitzvah. It brings on more. It brings on that ability, that energy to want to continue in this path. That's what we have to understand, is the power of the mitzvahs for ourselves individually, as well as collectively, for the whole world. That's the response that we need to have today, particularly today, in the situation that we are in. If we understand that these angels are angels that Yaakov Avinu sent, Lefanav, either the angels of the mitzvah of coming back to Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvahs of doing all the mitzvahs in Chutz Laaretz, mitzvahs in general, and that they are being the Melech Yosher, this is what he's asking for, Ki Malach Yitzav Elach L'Shmorcha, to be able to guard you in all your ways. There's another way of looking at what these angels are about. And the second way of looking at what these angels are about will give us an insight into why Yaakov Avinu sends angels on a whole different dimension. The Shilei Pinchas of Pinchas Friedman in source number 19 brings from the Zohar HaKadosh, Mi ayu ha-malachim sheshalach Yaakov el Esav? So he says, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Heim hayetzer hatov, they're the good inclination, which the hayetzer hara, and the evil inclination, shafcho Yaakov leyetzer hatov, which Yaakov Avinu was able to take the Yetzahara, the evil inclination, and turn it to the good. Be able to direct the negative forces into a positive way. Right? B'shnei Yetzarcha, with both of your inclinations. Ve'yot Yisrael Yisod Gadol B'Avodas Hashem, because this is a Yisod Gadol and Avodas Hashem, this is what we need to learn for our lives. This is the negative angel that we've spoken about comes when a person's born. The positive force when a person becomes bar bat mitzvah, these angels, the negative angel has to be transformed into a positive angel. And then Rav Friedman goes on to bring another interpretation. You will see that they really dovetail with each other. Who are these angels? Right? Malachim, minimum, if we don't have an amount, are two. So he says these are the two malachim, the two angels that escort a person every night home, every Friday night home from shul. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos Kuf Yotan Amud Beis 21, Shnei Malachei Asharei Melavim Lo La'adam Be'erev Shabbos Bibeit HaKnesset. There are two angels that accompany a person from shul on Friday night. Leveito to his home. Echad Tov Ve'echad Ra. One good angel, one bad angel. Ukishaba Leveito, when he comes to his house, Umatza Ner Doluk V'Shulchan Aruch. He sees the candle lit. He sees the table set. Umitato Mutzat, and the bed made. The Malach Tov says, it should be Ratzon Shevel Shabbat Acher, it should be for the next week as well. Umalach Ra One Amein Bal Korcho. And the negative angel has to, against his will, agree to this. The negative angel has to turn into a positive force. And we know, he said, that when the end of last week's parasha, when Yaakov Avinu comes back to Eretz Yisrael, he, Vayifkubo Malach Elokim, all these angelic beings come to greet him, and these are the malachim of Eretz Yisrael, and according to some, these are the malachim that he sent. But the chiddush that the Shlei Pinchas brings is the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael are the Bechina of Shabbos Kodesh. That Eretz Yisrael, which is immersion in Kedusha, is like Shabbos, which is immersion in Kedusha. They're the same Madrega. So therefore, when Yaakov Avinu comes back to Eretz Yisrael, what angels come to greet him? The angels of Eretz Yisrael come to greet him. These angels of Eretz Yisrael are akin to the angels of Shabbos. And indeed, he speaks about it at the end of 21. How can it be that Yaakov Avinu said, "In Lavan Garti Vitaryak Mitzvot Shamarti," did Yaakov Avinu do all the mitzvahs? Of course he didn't do all the mitzvahs. Did he give truma? Did he do the mitzvah chalitza and yipa? Right. So we've answered this question in the past, learning about the mitzvahs, doing the mitzvahs. But here's a different answer. And that answer is that one who is the Shomer Shabbos, one who guards the Shabbos, it's as if he kept Kol HaTorah Kula. Right? The Medrash and Shemot Rava, Kol HaShomer Shabbos, the bracket, Kilukiyim Kol HaTorah Kula. And that's what Yaakov Avinu is saying to Lavan. You know, in Lavan Garti, with Lavan I dwelled, and Rashi adds, Medrash adds, with Tariq Mitzvah Shemarti, not that he kept all Tariq Mitzvah. It's impossible for anyone to keep all Tariq Mitzvah. You have to be a king, a woman, a divorced, married, I mean, you name it, you can't. Physically you can't, right? It's not possible. So what does it mean he kept all Tariq Mitzvot? It means he kept Shabbos. That was his anchor in Lavan's house. And those malachim of Shabbos that he kept, those are the malachim that meet him. The malachim of Eretz Yisrael. And it's those malachim that he sends. And that he brings down from the Imre Noam is what is alluded to in Rashi. That Rashi says, Malachi Mamish. What does Mamish mean? Really? Mamish stands for Mitzvat, Min Mitzvat Shabbat. From the Mitzvah of Shabbos. That's Mamish. Those are the angels he sent, Min Mitzvat Shabbat. And we know Yaakov Avinu, Posek in Yeshaya, V'chalaticha Nachlos Yaakov Avicha. That Koma'aneg at the Shabbos, one who enjoys Shabbos, one who brings pleasure to Shabbos, he gets an inheritance of no bounds connected to Yaakov Avinu. And now we understand that the mitzvah of Shabbos, the malachim of Shabbos, when we keep the mitzvah of Shabbos appropriately, which is having these three things, which parallel, we know, the three things that were found in Sarei Menu's tent, which are parallel to the three things found in the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's the Ner Daluk, which is the candle that was around from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch is the bread ala Isa. It's the blessing on the food. The Mitah Mutzah is the Shechina, right? The divine, it's a euphemism of divine presence resting in this home. When all of this is found in our home, when we have transformed our home into a home of a mini Beis HaMikdash, a mini Shechina, we have then transformed the negative forces into the positive forces. We have turned that Yetzer, the Satan, the negative malach, into a positive malach. So now, my friends, with this in mind, we can appreciate why does Yaakov Avinu send malachim. We did this idea a number of years ago, my friends, but I'd like to see it again in context. Right? It's okay to repeat an idea. Halavai, we remember every idea every year. We'd be great scholars by now, and great people by now, more than scholars. In 24, the Tashya Rebbe Yemen Avodah Savoda. If the Malachim that Yaakov Avinu sent was the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, and the whole idea is to take the Yetzer Hara and turn into the Yetzer Tov, that the Yetzer Hara himself can admit that, you know what, halavai next week your house should be this way. Halavai you should be able to always keep the mini Shechina in your home. So now I understand with this imagery what the Tashya Rebbe says, where he notes here, Shishorish Yishmato 24 Shal Esav Hayami Makom Yoter Gavo Mishorish Yishmato Shal Yaakov. We alluded to this a few weeks ago in Parshat Toldot Shir, that the source of the neshama of Esav was even a higher place than the neshama of Yaakov Avinu. V'lechein haya Esav v'bachor v'nolad Rishon, that's why Esav was born first. And this is the hinted at, and these at the end of our parsha, these are the kings that ruled in Edom before Klal Yisrael had kings, because he's coming from a higher place that he can rule first. Ella. Shalumatzeh, second paragraph. But with all of his goodness, Hayu Bo Gam Chalkei Hara, he also had bad parts. Merubi Ma'od, very bad. We know Kohelet, Zayin Yudalet, Kizelu Matzeh, Salokim. Hashem has to have an equal playing force. And according to his greatness, and his soul was really great and really high. He had a tremendous amount of negativity and a tremendous amount of klipos, of midos raos that he was born with as well. Both of them were in him. Yaakov Avinu, who understood with his eyes, understood the greatness of Esav. He wanted to be ma'orer. He wanted to awaken the goodness in Esav, that he should be able to tap into these positive energy forces. V'lachnia 25, v'chelkei hara shebo tacha chelkei ato. He wanted the evil to be subsumed under the good. He wanted the malachim of Shabbos, the malach hara, to say, maybe this way next week. He wanted that imagery, that to take all that negativity and be able to subsume it under the positivity. Because he saw that if he was able to get Esav to have the positive over the negative, the yashuv b'tshuva would do tshuva, yatekef u'miyana tikkun ha-shalem, it would be the final tikkun, it would be bring the Mashiach. And this is why Yaakov Avinu sends malachim mamash. He sends real angels and not human beings. Why? In order to be ma'orer them. He thought, begodel, the end of 25, oram b'kedushatam, with their great light and kedusha, then they would be able, ya'iru or gadol, otoch libo shalesav. He specifically sent those angels, not so much as a protection for himself, which is level one, but in order to be able to inspire Esav. That's why he sent them. But again, we're not just talking about Yaakov and Esav. We're talking about good and evil. We're talking about Olam HaTikun. We're talking about the final rectification. We're talking about vanquishing evil. That's what we're talking about here. And to take out all of that good, right? We know great, great people came who converted. Rabbi Meir, great people. Esav had a lot of goodness in him. And he would have a tshuka to be able to do goodness. And that's why he calls him La Adoni, my master. Veshacha Lagid La Adoni. What does Lahagid mean? Milashon Hamshacha. To draw. He was trying to draw the master part, the greatness, out of Esav. And that's why he sends him Arza Seir Stei Edom, which is a remez to the Pasuk in Avadya, the two dots, Valu Moshim Baharzion Lishpot Ed Har Esav, that ultimately the Mashiach is going to come to Haratzion, to from Haratzion to Lishpot Ed Har Esav. That's why he sends some Arza Seir Stei Edom, to bring us that imagery of Arza Seir, Har Seir, of Har Esav, to be able to bring the Geula. But you know what happens? When the Malachim come, he lo yachol lifol lavtum. They weren't able to have any impact on him. Why? So Rabban points out, Pasuk Chet, She'etav gadar bad Malachim. He set himself up to block himself, to be impervious to the angels. And he didn't allow them at all to come in front of him. And that's again, helps us explain why we don't see the angels coming in front of Esav, right? We just see them leaving and then coming back. Esav didn't allow them to come in front of him because the chelik of the negativity in him realized what would happen if he allowed goodness to be able to permeate at all. And he didn't want that. And therefore, lachein hitgabro bo be'esav umanuhu shelo yersha l'malachim lavo lefanav. He didn't allow those angels to come. And that's what made Yaakov Avinu so afraid. He wasn't afraid of Esav. What is he afraid of on the second level? He's afraid for his children. He's afraid of what's going to be until today. He's afraid of Yishmael, who married into Esav. They became one happy family. And we know that Yishmael has taken on, Rabbi Feiner has an amazing shir on this, he's taken on, the cherev of Esav has taken on the bow of Esav, of Yishmael, has taken on the knives of Esav. They've come together here to join forces in our war until today. Yaakov Avinu is thinking about that poor 18-year-old boy, Kadosh, from Boston, who was killed. He's thinking about the guns, which is the clay Zion of Esav. and saying, how are we going to handle all of these sorrows? And that is why he says, Akapra panav b'mincha, let me give him a gift. Let me see if I can placate him a bit so that we can be able to lessen these terrible tragedies in the future. So my friends, on the first level, what we're seeing is that Yaakov Avinu is afraid for himself. Am I worthy or not? Who are these angels? These angels are the mitzvos that he's done, and he hopes those will be a schus to be able to protect him. And he's sending angels because he's talking on two levels, on the angelic level, on the spiritual level, and on the human level. On the second level, my friends, who are these angels being sent? Says the Zohar Kadosh, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. These are the angels of Shabbos, the angels of Eretz Yisrael, which is akin to Shabbos, where on Friday night, when everything is a mini base of Mikdash, the negative angel has to be subsumed under the positive angel. That's the force that Yaakov Avinu wanted to send specifically to Esav. Subsume your negativity into positivity. Bring the Geula. We'll have it. This will be the end of all evil. Esav doesn't allow the angels to come. And that's why angels are sent, because angels could have inspired them on that spiritual light and energy. But Esav is not ready. The world isn't ready for this to happen. Having said this, this segues us into another whole issue that I want to touch on, which is a question that Mefarshim asked, and we raised it at the beginning. The Tamua Sheisav Lloyd Pael Asatam Vidas Rav Sternbach in 27 Klal Leron Shishim Ribo Malachel Yom Shikotos El Yaakov. Like, why isn't Esav impressed when he sees these angels? And he still comes out with 400 men. Like, isn't he afraid at all? Like, doesn't he react at all? I mean, it's not like every day you see angels. So the answer that he gives, and the answer that a lot of the Mefarshim gives, is that B'chol Zor Hayah B'koach HaTaiva L'Sameh Enav. When a person, right, the Ramban's answer is he doesn't even let them come in. Tam Vidas saying, no, the taiva, his desire for physicality, desire for evil, all of these things, he can't stand up to his yetzer, to his inclination. It's so overpowering. Very nice, very impressive. The angels are very impressive. Many angels are very impressive. But I can't break out of my negativity. I can't have the goodness overcome the bad, because I am so caught up in this world of negativity. The Tiva Torah, Rav Gamliel, echoes this, that the end of 29, Sheba Emes, Esav Kenemim, Kedushas Malachim. Of course, Esav understood, he grew up in Yitzchak Avinu's house, the power of angels. But however, Lo Liyot Natun Shlita Yetzer, the problem was, he wasn't able to control his Yetzer Hara. And this is our challenge, that a person who doesn't control the Yetzer Hara can alul adam labeda kol mina tova tarta. You can lose all your money, you can lose all your Torah. You get so blinded by what you want to see that you lose a connection. The Leit Shalom, Rav Shvadron, the Magid of Yushalayim, takes this idea even one step further. And he says something gevaldik. He says, you know, David HaMelech, when he was old and 30, he was covered with clothes and it didn't warm him up. And Rashi explains why. Many years earlier, he saw a malach with a sword extended, and he became so frozen from that imagery that he couldn't warm himself up years later. To see angels with swords drawn, it's like a mighty sight. Like, where was Esav that he is so, like, oblivious to all of this? And the way Rosh Vajon, in his typical Magid style, describes it, you can imagine Esav sitting at his desk, you know, busy working on all these things, and the Malachim come in, of course, unannounced. They get past the secretary because they're angels, and Esav says, like, you know, very nice, but you don't scare me. Total adishut. You know, like, that's nice that you're here. I'm holding by who I am. I'm ready to come out and fight for what I want. Totally not connected to the fact that there's a spiritual force saying to him, change, be a different person. And this, says the Leit Shalom, and it's very fascinating, it's very relevant for our lives. You know, he says, you might think, like, Esav not responding to angels, what does this have to do with me? Like, you know, if I saw an angel, I would respond. And he says, no. He says, what do we learn from Esav here? We learn from Esav that a person can see an angel. Esav saw the angels. Esav talked to the angels. And yet be an Esav. And yet come out with 400 people. A person can hold by Yirat Shamayim. A person can hold by great spirituality. And I'm doing this for the sake of heaven. And at the same time be an Esav. And this is our challenge. Our challenge is, if you realize what is spiritually correct, if you realize there's Ribono Shel Olam, you realize there's a God, you realize that there is a Torah, then how can you act in the way that you act? Rosh Hashanah gives two stories to illustrate this. And the stories are hinted at in 32 and 33, but I'm going to spell them out. Story number one. There was a shul, I believe it was in Shari Chesed, that the regular Baal Korah didn't show up, it was Shabbat Zohar. So a 13-year-old boy says, I know the Kriya, I know the laning, I'm ready to lane. And he did a beautiful job laning. Comes the last maftir, the last aliyah, which is Zechira Samalek, Bechia Samalek, which is a Doraisa, you have to be Yotze. And one guy stands up and says, this kid can't read, he's only 13. How do we know that he's really a Gadol? How do we know that he's really, you know, fit to be somebody who is going to, you know, fulfill our obligation? Because after all, this is a Torah obligation to your Zohar. And we have to see if he's really a Gadol. And there's signs of being a Gadol, that you have facial hairs. So they take this boy and they start examining him. Is he really a Gadol or not? And a whole fight ensues. This poor boy is turning red in the face. Like, he's a poor little bar mitzvah boy, you know? Is he worthy to read or is he not worthy to read? So this guy gets up there and says, I'm going to read Parshat Zohar instead of this boy. And as Rosh Hashanah so beautifully says this in 33b, he said 33a, Kach nireh a Rosh Hashem Shemayim. B'fiv mitader al hider mitzvah ve'elu masav he me'elu shem lem chelok lom haba. On the outside, he looks like he's behoder. I want to be yotzei, you know, the mitzvah of Mechia Samalek from the Torah. On the outside, he looks like he sees angels. On the inside, he's like, doesn't have a chelek lom haba. He's embarrassed as a child. He's an Esav. And this is our challenge. Here's the second story he tells. A fellow walks into a room and he sees a midget. And you know, there's a special bracha to say, Mishana Habrios, on a midget. Not many people have so many opportunities in their life to say this bracha. This guy gets so excited, here's a midget. He picks this midget up and he starts waving him in all directions, like a lula. Hinni muchan uzuma, and I'm about to say the bracha of Mishana Habrios. You know how this poor guy felt? That he's being waved in all directions? Being, you know, drawn attention to in this way? Hello! You're so excited to do a mitzvah at this guy's expense? And as Rosh Hashanah says so beautifully, when he's in the privacy of his own home, is he saying an Asher Yatzar with that type of kavana? Like, people who go out and pretend in the outside world to have Shabbat Yer Shemayim, I see angels, I'm on such a high level. But they're an Esav inside. They act with such disdain toward people, with a lack of sensitivity toward people. This is the lesson that we have to learn. How could Esav see these angels and still go out with 400 people? How could we profess to be Yirei Shamayim and act the way we do? It's a very similar question. My friends, we're up to our final piece for today. And this is a very important piece in the time we have remaining. We've seen it's a spiritual battle. We've seen it's a spiritual battle that Yaakov Avinu is afraid of. We've seen it's a spiritual battle that he's hoping that Esav is able to be able to subdue the negative into the positive, to be able to allow that Yirat Shamayim, that goodness, to prevail. And he doesn't, and he fails. Our final question. Well, which one was it? Was it angels, or was it people? Like, what is the reality? Now, we know, and we've spoken about this before, Lucille's Bavavam, Rav Eisenberger, third week using him, 36, notes that by halacha you have to have a response, something, this is what I do. With Agada, with Midrashim, you don't have to know this really happened. Adarabha, Kishirotzim Lakif Nosei, if you really want to learn something, you have to be able to see it from all sides, and be able to understand that from every side we learn something from it. So this is why, who did Yaakov even really send? Were they angels? Were they people? I don't know. You could perhaps reconcile it as Vizosli Yaakov does, where it's Lefunav, in front of Yaakov Avinu, Lefunav, Hainu Malachim Omdim Lefunav. However, to lifnei Esav lo ayu nirim kumalochim mamish, shimkin, hu ayem isfiyari v'lo yalolech likrotel. That you could say it's both. When Yaakov Avinu sent them, they were angels. Yaakov Avinu was able to use them. But they came in the guise of people. Hence, Esav wasn't afraid of them. Hence, Esav came out with the 400 men, and therefore we understand why Esav doesn't respond in fear to these people. So that's what it means, lefanav, in front of, that Yaakov, you know, chach malachim lefanav, in front of him, they're malachim. In front of Esav, they look like regular people. That's one way to reconcile it. But as the Masil Spavavam himself noted, when we're looking at Chazal, and they say something, that it's malachim mamish. So here, we've spent the last, 45 minutes or so trying to understand malachim mamish. The mitzvahs that we create is a shmirah for us, it's a protection. Looking to do a mitzvah creates a protection for us. Every aspect of doing a mitzvah, the Shabbos angels, is the good and the evil, and we understand that malachim mamish are about a spiritual interchange that we have to understand in our own lives. We create malachim mamish all the time, and that the environment that we're in is a result of these malachim, and that the shmirah that we have, say driving in Eretz Yisrael, right, result of these malachim, right? Walking down the street is a result of these malachim, all of this shmirah. What do we learn from the first part, which we didn't even touch, which is not Rashi, which is Chazal, that they are human? How do I understand that? So Masil Spavavav says, perhaps you can say, Hainuhach, it's really one and the same, and that's what we learn about that he said to real people. What does this mean? So we know, what's the idea of a malach? A malach, 37, is a shaliach. It's someone who's sent on a mission. And a malach is sent one mission at a time, which means he's totally focused on that which he is doing. But we also know that great tzaddikim, particularly we just had the mitzvah Shemitah this past year, Baruch Hu Hashem malachav gibore koach oseh dvaro, that when we do Hashem's will, as the Matno Kahuna points out, Shenikru Malachim, we are called angels, Vishluchim Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and emissaries of God. Sheshacham Lo Olam Hazeh Lasot Ritzono, that Hashem sent us into this world to do His bidding. And that's why he notes in 38, we can really say that the two understandings in Chazal are really one. Ki lo rechoka hi dat ha'omer malachim elu shluchei basav adam. Mi dat ha'omer malachim amish, they're really one and the same. Why? They're really getting to the same goal. That when people are being sent to do their mission, and they're very focused on this is their mission, and understand this is why they are here, then they turn into malachi mamish, as if they are angels. My friends, this message, I think, is the message that I'd like for us to leave with today in the few minutes that we have left. Halimud hayotze lanu lemaisa mikol hamamar hazeh, he shalenu lachdir betodatenu temusag shel shlichus. Our job is to learn this chazal, this medrash, and make it ours. That we have to turn our roles, our lives, into that we are malachim mamish. That we are shluchei abore. We are angelic ambassadors. We are sent down here to do a mission. And we have to be focused in on this mission, that we are deserving to be on the level of angels. And here, Rav Eisenberger in 40 and 41 speaks about that albeit that we have all of Torah mitzvahs to do to the best of our ability, there should be one mitzvah that we take on. Chazal speak about this, that this is our mitzvah. This is our focus. Shemitzvah Hazot 41, Amura Liot HaKotev HaMerkazi Shalav Soveit Sir Chayav. This is the idea that our whole lives revolve around this one Nekuda. And our Olam HaMaisa, our Torah, our Avodah are about this thing. And this is why we have to realize that, let's say a person mitzvahs Bikur Cholim. So they're going to always be looking for people who can house other people, or people to visit the hospital, or doctors who are going to be able to help, families out. Because their whole mind is on Bikur Cholim. Their whole mind is on this mitzvah. So wherever they go, they're thinking about this mitzvah. That is what it means to have a shlichut. That's what it means to be a malachim, to be focused on some one idea. And we see this again in Ethics from Sinai. True, it's difficult to sustain such a high level of concentration, achievement for all mitzvahs. Therefore, great rabbis advocate that we each specialize in a given area of Judaism. Adopt one particular mitzvah, be it caring for the sick, supporting yeshivas, reciting the Shema whenever required, with perfect intention and perfect direction. Go on with all the mitzvahs you normally would, but give this, your special mitzvah, your special attention. Become thoroughly familiar, or even expert, in all of its laws. Be alert for and seek out opportunities to observe it and perform it with true interest and sincerity. When a Jew really fulfills to perfection the one mitzvah that he's made his specialty, he has indeed gained for himself, for his own creative individuality, an advocate. He has enduring evidence before Hashem that he has justified his existence. That is the way the Masilta Bavavot speaks about how can we be an angelic ambassador to choose one mitzvah and allow this mitzvah to, you know, to occupy, to totally take over our entire lives, that people know, oh no, you mentioned this topic, you're just going to get it. This person's going to, right, Tomchei Shabbos, whatever it is. Whatever mitzvah it is, they are passionate about it. They're enthusiastic about it. They learn about it. That's one way of looking at it. The other way, and obviously it's a shir b'fnei atzmon that we can't possibly do in the 5 minutes that we have left, but I will make mention just to round out our subject. What does it mean that shluchei basar v'dam, malachim mamish, what does it mean that we're sent on a shlichus, on a mission from Hashem? What is this mission all about? So we know that famous machloket between Rabbi Shammai and Beis Hillel was it better we were created or not. So Rabbi Fram brings down, it's never too little, it's never too late, it's never enough, that the soul is better off completing its mission the first time. What they're really asking is about coming down the second time in a Gilgul or not. And but if you don't come, if you do come down a second time, you better fulfill whatever you were missing the first time. God does not leave us in a quandary, says the Gra. We can determine what it is we were sent to repair by examining our ways, by discovering our weakness, the issues that keep cropping up in our lives. We determine what flaws we must correct. It seems that Hashem is constantly sending you a specific Nisayon challenge, or you have a proclivity toward one particular sin over all others. It's clear that your soul was exposed to that sin in its previous Gilgal. So, if you have an issue with money, for instance, you can't seem to get enough of it, or you simply cannot give it away, then money can be the reason for your reincarnation. You are here to learn to curb your obsession with money. And he says the problem is, you know, people excel in all these areas, and then they have one Achilles heel, their anger. They said, oh, we can't be perfect. Wrong. You're right, you can't be perfect, but wrong. Maybe that's why you're put back here in this world. You have to be aware that Hashem has put you in this world to repair something. In the Sur Meirah, in the moving away from negativity, the Sfarim say, Shalom and others speak at length about this, that we're here to repair one negative midah in us. And if you know what that negative midah is, wow, that's amazing. You get angry really easily, like that. You say, great, amazing, I know why I'm here in this Gilgal. I know what to work on. That's great. But Avodas Hashem is also in the Aseh Tov. As the Pasuk in Yonah says, which we know the Gra speaks about, is the whole idea of reincarnation, that there's a kriya, there's a calling. And it's a positive aspect of our avodah. Re'ei karasti b'shem b'tzalu ben uri ben chur. One was equaled at birth. How? By giving him these inborn traits. Just as Vilna Gaon taught us that we must examine our weaknesses to determine the negative trait that we must focus on repairing, so too, the end of 45, we must find the specific strengths and talents that Hashem has granted us, for they are the keys to determining and fulfilling our calling. And that is why we cannot be complacent. To say, you know, I keep Torah mitzvahs, what word do you want? As he says, our worldview falls in line with the folks saying, the worm that infests the horseradish thinks that's the sweetest place in the world. We say, this is the way I am, 40 years old, this is the way I've always been. This is who I will be. I'll always be this way. We abhor complacency. The Torah abhors complacency. We have to realize that we're sent here for a mission in this world. As Rabbi Fran speaks about, we have to paint our masterpiece. And he mentions here, he says that when Rabbi Akiva Eger, who anyone in the world of learning knows Rabbi Akiva Eger's to learn his Ha'aros on Gemara is hours of scrutinizing, tremendous, tremendous achron. So you would think, what was the masterpiece Rabbi Akiva Eger was all his works. What did Rabbi Akiva Eger ask to be written on his tombstone? Saval Yusurim Kol Yamav. He suffered all of his days. He considered his illness, which he had been afflicted from the age of 16, to be his masterpiece. No one in our day and age will ever write anything that will come close to Talmudic works, the asterisks of 47 of Rabbi Akiva Eger. But many of us suffer from pain and illness. The way we handle that test can be our masterpiece. Your masterpiece can be raising your children. It could be a specific mitzvah you perform, like we just mentioned. He mentions in 48C, a woman who makes sure that the Shabbos table is set Thursday night, and the feeling of Shabbos is already brought in. By Chatzot, everything is done. By midday Friday, as I'm taping this, past Chatzot, midday Friday, with cooking still to be done. Feeling that is not my masterpiece, my friends. We try. Everyone has to have a masterpiece that makes it their specialty. And again, don't confuse your job with your masterpiece. My masterpiece is to be a doctor, lawyer, candlestick maker. Rabbi Akiva Eger's masterpiece wasn't, in his mind, his works. Rabbi Akiva Eger's masterpiece was dealing with challenges in life. And this is what we need to understand, that every single one of us is put here to work on something that we have to overcome. We're also put here in this world to do something, kum va'aseh, to do something positive. But what do we have to keep in mind? That we are an angelic ambassador. That Hashem has put us here for something that nobody else can do. And we have to find that one thing, whether it's that one mitzvah, it's that one aspect of the mitzvah, preparing our homes Friday night, of creating this environment. One aspect, one nekuda, and that we are totally obsessed with this idea, obsessed with this midah, obsessed with this mitzvah, focused like an angel. And then we become like an angel mamish, where albeit we have negativity, but subsumed in the positivity. Our focus is doing this mitzvah. Who has time for negative things? Who has time? Who has energy? I'm so concerned about making sure that this mission, that this idea, that this midah is done to its fullest. My friends, this is, I think, the message for all of us, that when we live our lives, like Yaakov Avinu was teaching us on two planes, on meeting his brother Esav in that fear, but meeting his brother Esav with the sorrow shel Esav, am I worthy? Meeting his brother Esav with the good koach in him to try to bring Mashiach. That every time we do a mitzvah, we create angels, we create positive forces. Every Friday night, we see these angels, Shalom Aleichem, we see them in front of us. When we work in our own lives, are we also caught up just on the Yaakov meeting his brother? Or do we understand that we are also involved in a spiritual picture of ourselves, of the world around us, of this is our response to all the tragedy that's going on, all the things that are beyond our control? What we do have in our control is to create shmirah, to create protection, every mitzvah, every tehillim. And we also know that our mission in this world to really be able to combat evil is to say, I am here for a mission, why Hashem sent me into this world. And I'm going to do this mission as an angelic ambassador, to be totally obsessed with this mission, not forgetting my other mitzvot and my other duties, but to say, Hashem, it was worthy for you to create me, because the world is now a place which is focused, which the Kedusha, the holiness, the angels themselves will protect me and the world for this one mitzvah, this one midah that I am spending my entire life devoted to. And that is why, really, Chazal are not arguing. What did Yaakov Avinu send? It's irrelevant what he said. That's absolute truth. Relative truth is about each and every one of us. That all of us, and this is a bracha I give all of us, can be those physical angels that turn into malachi mamish, like real angels, when we are understanding that we're here for spiritual purpose and not lose focus on why Hashem created us in this world.